And said that called down there and talked to my man Califano and said that he'd been talking to you and he was very worried about something Fulbright's doing. He thought that I ought to see a group headed by you and him and a couple of other fellows, Symington, I think, and Stennis. I called Jackson back. I was at lunch. And I called Mansfield. I spent 3 hours with Fulbright last night, with Fulbright and Mansfield and Burke Hickenlooper and George Aiken and John Spartan.
You didn't do much of a Johnson sales job on him, evidently.
No, he's got problems, Dick. That man has. He got problems, and I listened to everything they had to say from 6:30 till 9:25. And just nobody present except those five and me. And
I let Mansfield
and Fulbright and Sparkman, Hickenlooper, and...
Well, they have different mind about this thing.
And Aikens, they're all same mind except Fulbright, and he didn't show much. I was real worried about talking to Fulbright. I said, Senator, now let's play president a while. What would you do if you were president? What would you like to do? Well, he said, I would like to negotiate. I said, well, I would too. Well, he said, why don't you negotiate? And I said, because they won't negotiate. Well, he said, there must be some way to make them negotiate. And I said, well, you tell me. You write me. You tell me how to do it. I don't know how to do it. Well, I said, that just goes to show you. By gosh, he said, I never did want to be in this. I said, I didn't want to be in it. Well, he said, I didn't say you got in it. I know that they were there when you came in. But, and it just that way for 2 or 3 hours. And we got to Sparkman. Sparkman said, well, I don't like it. I don't want it. I wish we didn't have it, but I don't know what I can recommend that we do, Mr. President. Got to Hickenlooper. Hickenlooper said, well, I will just say this, that I don't want this to be a civil committee to conduct the war, and said, I don't know what we can get by Morse and Fulbright debating back at Rusk and televisions all over the world in the middle of a critical period. Said, I don't want this to be a civil war committee. We can't conduct the war. Fulbright said, well, now, just let here, Burke, I don't want it to be a civil war committee either, but they got in a little argument. I just sat there and listened to it. Mansfield said, well, I wanted to confer with you, and now can we announce this? And I said, no, I want to meet with some of the House people. I'm meeting with all the House chairmen this afternoon, and then I want to meet with some of the Armed Services people and Appropriations people, and there's not anything that I know to announce. If I say I saw two or three senators or the other 20 that I didn't see, they object. So unless we want a lot of publicity, let's try to talk this thing. I'll take any suggestions you want to make and certainly consider them. And Mr. Mansfield, anytime you want to bring any group of senators to me, you can see me the day that you call. You just call and I'll make plans. I said, Fulbright said, well, we think that you've got the complete captive of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And said, I was saying to Dick Russell, he implied as he went along, everything he said you agreed with, he never did say that, but that was the implication.
Well, did he call my name?
Oh, yeah, two or three times. Said, now, Dick Russell and I see alike on this.
Well,
and he was in, and he wound up by saying
it. It must have been some very minor thing.
It was.
Just
enough to just drag you like an old cow if you ever milked into the country days. You've been too long away from the milk pail, but just when you got the bucket full, she'd drag your tail through the top of it and leave a little streak. That's the way he would drag your name through.
You'd just slap the hell out of you with it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hit you right in the face with it. But anyway, he has no plan or program. I said, what do you want to do? Well, he said, I want to run us out of that war. And you are the complete captive, the Joint Chiefs Staff. That's what they say. And I said, well, now, Senator, that's a little bit unfair. I'm not the captive of anybody. I'm listening to you, Senators. I've talked to more Senators today than I have generals. And I have to listen to the best advice that's available to me and consider it.
My complaint's the other side. You haven't paid enough attention to them.
Well,
that's the difference. Well, he's made a hell of a mean speech, and Bobby Kennedy made a meaner one. He interrupted him, and Nelson's been raising hell now for about 10 minutes, and John Tower made a very strong statement on the other side. He started off with the assumption that you were getting ready to call up 200,000 more men and send out there, and of course I hadn't heard anything about that. I know that you ought to call up some, and you need some reserves mighty bad, because we haven't got anything left in this country at all. That's ready to go, except 2 brigades of the 82nd. But he had you sending 200,000 more out there. Said he had rumors that that, or reports that that was what you're getting ready to do. Send 200,000 more.
Very much rumors, like his nuclear attack the other day. We haven't made a decision. We don't know really what we're going to do. We do know that, as I asked General Wheeler to go out and brief you when you were at the hospital, and as
yeah,
I have asked him to get everybody's opinions on what we ought to have, and most of the armed services people have thought for some time we ought to replenish our strategic reserve that is getting pretty low, and you've thought so more than anybody else, and they have had the feeling pretty generally agreed by Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and the Joint Chiefs, that we ought to call up some reserves, and perhaps as I told you when I talked to you before I went home the other day, before I went down to Georgia and that trip, that we ought to call up these units and ask for permission to call up these selected specialists and that authority we need, and probably extend the terms of enlistment, authority to do that. You said, well, you can't do that unless you call up the reserves. And I said,
I'm in favor of that, Mr. President. I'll make it perfectly clear until we get up a lot of these fellows that haven't served at all.
Well, I understand that, and I don't plan to put the first, but those are the things that are being considered. Now, how much of that would ever go to South Vietnam, if any, has not been determined. We do not know. Clifford is of the impression and the feeling that we oughtn't to decide that at this moment, and we ought to go ahead and make our decision on filling out the strategic reserve. We had 12 divisions, I believe, and it's down to about 6 now. And that he thinks that's an invitation and a weakness to the rest of the world, and that we ought to call up these folks, but we ought to be sure that we're prepared for them and we have something for them to do and know exactly what we're doing, and they're studying all of those things now. He even suggested that he might want to go out and have some conversations with the Allied leaders, particularly the Vietnamese, to see how they're coming with their 19-year-old draft.
Well, that's
18.
Half a dozen times out here on the floor.
Before,
calling up our boys at 18 and not calling up theirs till they're 20 and 21.
Well, that's not true. The average of ours is 20.4. It was 20.9 last year. They are calling their 19 now.
Yes,
and they will call their 18s in June. And if we called up the same proportion of our population, we'd have between 9 and 10 million instead of the 3. So that's not a very...
I don't hardly know how to reply to all this because it's so damn general and deals with suppositions of which I have no knowledge at all. I wanted to say something, but I damn fine see any place getting teeth in it. And just said he built up a straw man. It ain't truth in it. And if you go to calling up reserves, that makes me look silly.
Well, I think that you ought to say that first the committees of the Congress and the reservists themselves have been urging it to be called up for a couple of years, that they do need to be called up because we have a strategic reserve of 12 divisions we got in this thing. It's down to 6. And they ought to be called up. Now, the president's had the chairman of the Joint Chief talk to you about it. The president's talked to the other chairman about it. You believe that the president's talked to a good many senators, and if any senator wants to talk to the president about it, you're sure the president would be glad to hear his views. But there's been no president ever consulted as much with the Senate as the present president. Now, as far as the Senate running the war and doing this is something else.
The Senate can't do that.
That's what Hickenlooper said last night, and just made a very effective statement, and it had an effect on both Fulbright and Mansfield. Matter of fact, Fulbright got a little irritated by it. Now, I ask him not to say that they met with me.
Well, I'm not going to.
And he has just, but I think it's very, very improper to indicate that nobody's consulted when he came down and spent 3 hours.
Well, he indicates that the Congress has just been kept in damn complete ignorance. And he went on to say that the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense just lied to him on his Donkin Gulf resolution when they testified.
Yes, he says that all the time, but the record, he interprets when McNamara said that they were not in the territorial waters. At the time McNamara said that, they claimed...
That letter that the crew wrote, you know, but... I didn't see nothing so damn bad about that. They want to get out. If I was in out there, I'd want out too.
Well, Fulbright is just trying to justify his position of not wanting to be for the war and being an ass and voting for Tonkin Gulf. That's all. That's what he's trying to do. But I think that you all ought to say, even Jackson and the rest of you, that the president's talked to you and talked to you more than you want to be talked to sometimes. That he had the joint chairman, joint chief, come see you a week before last. He called you last week himself. That he's asked for your advice on the reserve from time to time. And the Congress has been urging, and the reserve organizations too, that they be called up for a long, long time. And we did have 12 divisions. Now we're down to 4.5 and 1.5, about a total of 6.
We haven't got 6 on active duty, have we, Mr. President?
No, they told me they had about 6 available in the strategic reserve. 4.5 plus... Plus 1
and... Selling flour and silk today and going to call them up tomorrow. I just can't believe they're as good as they think they are.
Well, I didn't say they're as good at all. I just said that they said that we ought to have 12, and we did have 12, and we had worn it down to 6. And that,
they all reserve. We just got about 1.5 at the regulars.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, I go on back in there and make up my mind. I hate to just get up there and go floundering around when I don't know what the hell I'm hitting at. Fulbright don't know what he's talking about, and I hate to do the same thing just because he is.
I think I'd just take the position. Any senator wants to talk to the president would be glad to talk to him. You sure he'd talk to the senator?
He hadn't raised any points that you wouldn't see anybody.
Well, Mansfield said
it.
Mansfield
hadn't said that. He just said that the Congress ought to be apprised before you do anything else.
Well,
that's what he said. Of course, they
ought to be consulted, he said, and that they hadn't been.
Well, I don't know what he said they hadn't been. I didn't get that thought of it. Maybe he had.
Anyway, that's what Jackson said.
Well, he sort of tried to leave that inference, but he didn't say that. I was sitting there listening to himself. He probably left that inference with those who heard him.
Well, now, if you think any of them ought to come down here, I had thought what...
I don't think any of them ought to come. I think if you kept Fulbright right at your right elbow every hour, or working hour the next 6 days, he'd be of the same opinion he is right now. And I don't think it changed him one iota. So I'm not advising you to see anybody. I did. All I could say was that Tidings came over and asked me if I knew how many reserves going to be called up. And I told him, no, I didn't know. But that's all I could tell him.
And I don't know either. Tell him the president.
I told that I would have told him.
Well, you can just tell him now. The president doesn't know himself how many he's going to call.
I told him I did not know how many he's going to be called up. And he's gone dovish. He's got up and thought me and Spinish and Simonson ought to be apprised and ought to keep the Senate advised. Because to hell, we've already given these people all of our war plans in advance, and it's cost us a whole lot. It's been the most openly fought war that ever has been fought.
Say that. Please say that. And just say what Eisenhower said to me the other day, that I'd give any amount of money to have known about the enemy, what they know about us.
Of course, we tell them in advance what's going on.
And I see now from the intelligence this morning that they're asking for copies of the film between Rusk and Fulbright debating. They'd like to have it at night for all the European capitals. And this is one that's coming up next week. And
they come on television?
They want to, and Rusk has got to go up on foreign aid, and so... Well, I've asked him not to, but now he's got to go on foreign aid, and...
He ain't got to go on television.
Well...
And I'll be damned if I do it. He's just surrendering to him after he's held out in our here now, and everybody has been sympathizing with him.
Well, you see, the committee voted overwhelmingly, 11-4, to by this fella Camont, got in and played a little politics to order him up.
I thought of booking him up.